Hi, Janet.
Hi, Sarah. What a treat to be talking again, and I understand you have some very, very exciting things that you're going to be doing this weekend.
Yes, I'm so, it's one of those amazing synchronicities that happen that make you feel that you're in the right place at the right time, you know, doing the right thing.
Oh, it's just mind-boggling to me that you know, what the name of that big international conference?
International Astrological Conference is happening here in New Orleans this weekend.
Can you believe it?
I know. I mean, people are traveling from all over the world, spending all kinds of money to be here, and all I have to do is drive, you know, 10 minutes to get there.
And it has to be right up the line with what you've been working on now or, you know, absolutely excited about for the last year or two, right?
Well, that's the thing. I've been, as you know, I've been really fascinated with the whole issue of ancestry for a long time. I think I come by it naturally because, as I've said before, my mom's a genealogist. And she, you know, which came first, the egg or the chicken? I can't say if she inspired me with the love of my roots or if I already had that love, and she just sort of made me more aware of it.
That's why she's your mother, you know?
She's my mom, yeah. as you were saying, it probably got passed down through the mitochondrial DNA.
got me intrigued about that, and now it's just, you've gotten us all ignited here.
Yeah, so, of course, to combine my two of my great passions, one being astrology, and the other being ancestry. It just seemed like a no-brainer, and with your encouragement, too, since I, you know, as I have been getting my own DNA tested for years with just about every kind of test you can do to measure this or that or whatever, I've inspired a lot of my friends to get their DNA tested, especially through DNA tribes like you and Isha and most of your family and, you know, a lot of my family and people, and I've started using friends and family members as guinea pigs to, because what happens when you get your DNA tested is you get this report back, which shows a map of the world and shows where your ancestors most likely have, you know, originated in over the last 500 years, at least according to this one test. And so it just occurred to me, well, if you get a map like that that shows your ancestral DNA, and you can also look at a map of the world for your astrocartography, which is where your astrological chart is overlaid on the map of the world, wouldn't it be interesting to overlay those two maps?
Well, and Tara, you know the thing that I just absolutely is tickling me is how this fits in with the theme of our inner sight, know thyself thing, because it when I started doing my blogs, I knew that I had to go back and say, what did I get from my parents?
Right.
And I wrote those first two things about mom and dad and the times that they were from, the Roaring Twenties.
Right.
And just the exercise of doing that was very significant in my understanding my inheritance, so to speak.
Oh, exactly.
And so then when you came up with this, I was intrigued about, all right, you know, my image was, I'm half Irish and all American mongrel because the DAR. Well, having you do mine, oh my heavens, that just changed my identity completely. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from so many people too. And everyone gets chills, you know, everyone just. Because, you know, when you get those goosebumps, it's like it's some part of your soul saying, you know, yes, there's something about this that's true, right? That's how it always works for me when I get goosebumps.
Uh-huh.
It's like that. That's when I know the inner knowing is really acute.
Yeah, it's just been activated.
It's just been seriously activated. Even if it doesn't make sense on a rational level necessarily at first.
Yeah.
Although I don't think there's any contradiction between the rational and the non-rational, you know. But initially, it's like with Isha's chart, at first she said, you know, it doesn't make rational sense, right? But then she started thinking about it more deeply. Well, it's in some other category that's just magical or mystical, or we need to expand our category of what we think ancestry is.
Or what who we are.
And so who
they
we
get
are.
In touch with and another dimension or the metaphysical part of me that is, I've been denying because I could only identify with what I can feel with my five senses and see and understand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I was saying about the whole idea or definition of what ancestry is. We usually think of it in scientific terms because we live in a scientific world, right? And we've been taught ancestry is about your biology. It's about what you get passed, what gets passed down from your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents, right? But what if it's something even bigger than that? And what if it's what gets passed down from us from previous lifetimes, all mixed in with our biology, and even with what we're, who we were before we ever incarnated on this planet?
And who we really are and why we're here, which are the eternal questions humanity's been asking for centuries or thousands of years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we just always want to go deeper, or at least I do. I'm just one of those people who just wants to dig and dig and dig.
Well, you know, who does, you know, anybody that starts thinking beyond just survival, why am I here?
And the deepest possible understanding of that, you know, because there are so many layers to understanding that question.
Yeah. Oh my Lord.
And I just keep wanting to peel away the layers of the onion skin, or however you want to, whatever metaphor you want to use. And it just seems like there's an infinite or depth to that question.
And the fun we've had going deeper and deeper and deeper, both in that metaphysical, but also in the physical thing, because deeper and deeper and deeper is sort of like, then we look at, oh my gosh, why aren't I what I could be? Why aren't I the embodiment of love and joy and abundance and all that kind of stuff, which is the world I could have helped create more effectively if I really felt that way about myself. So
and what in the question, what gets in the way of fulfilling my destiny, you know?
Yeah.
Once you get some clarity about what your destiny is, although I do think that sort of reveals itself on a daily basis, that the whole issue of destiny.
Yeah, there are no accidents. Everybody, I mean, the fact that this conference is in your backyard this weekend, there are no accidents.
Yeah, and then as I was sharing with you earlier, I discovered that there's someone who will be at the conference who's a like-minded individual who's doing a presentation on the moon and the mythology surrounding the moon as it relates to mitochondrial DNA.
Oh, that's so exciting. You're having goosebumps.
And somehow he's come up with an idea of how to look at a chart and interpret it from that perspective. And I've come up with my own ideas. And this is where the value of networking and collaboration comes in.
Absolutely.
You know, sparking each other's insights.
Right. Yeah.
Sparking each other's inner knowing.
Right. Right. Oh, I'm jealous. I'm so jealous of you guys. That'd be such a kick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, why don't you talk about people you've done or persons? In fact, all right, let's just say I was so intrigued by all this. I gave the DNA test to my whole family at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got their DNA test, then you were able to do the reading. And boy, talk about curves. I mean, it was just sort of like, wait a minute.
Oh, no. And that was the first time I've ever done a reading for an entire family, which is a whole nother level of interesting, you know, because then you look at familial patterns of ancestral patterns. And in your family, of course, the big surprise was the theme of the Native American ancestry. Which was, I mean, you know, your daughter has always felt that sort of connection, but as far as you guys knew, you were Irish and English. And so she just thought it was an interest she had, a random interest or something, you know, a sense of affinity. And then to find out she actually has that one quarter, excuse me, of her ancestry derived from a Native American origin, which is
yeah, which is oh my Lord, amazing. And then that my son was mostly Asian from like a Silk Road. I mean,
I know.
Come on, that blew us all out of the water.
Right, and then your son-in-law was about a quarter Native American, and your grandson, that was the biggest surprise, was about three quarters Native American. All of them having some Mayan ancestry, which is so much a part of what's going on, the focus in the world today around Mayan prophecy. And then to find out, so then you find that your family traveled to the Yucatan Peninsula together, to the Mayan ruins, that you and your daughter and your grandson had gone to the Four Corners area of the American Southwest, to the point where place where all these Native American cultures come together.
And, you know, the other thing I was just thinking about with this eclipse just a day or two ago, eclipse is something I've never really thought about or been particularly intrigued about. But we had this perfectly wonderful planetarium in Chicago, and they did wonderful trips, well-organized trips. And Dick and I did two eclipses, one in India and one in the Galapagos, and I keep thinking, good grief, you know? Obviously, there was more to that than simply my I don't know.
So, well, maybe because of Andy's ancestry in that area.
Yeah.
Which came through. Another interesting part of his story, which is, for those who don't know, that's your son, is that, you know, the story of him going to Tibet.
Yep.
And always feeling drawn to go there. Turns out he's got some Tibetan ancestry. But when he arrives there, he gets really, really sick. Of course, some people do, but I mean, he got so sick he practically had to be airlifted out of there, and then was sick for quite a while afterwards, trying to recover from whatever he had picked up while he was there. And how much of that was some sort of past life karmic memory or imprint that was being activated by being, you know, back in that location?
Yeah.
So brings up all kinds of questions about choices we've made in our lives, places we've traveled.
And the significance of those to our being.
Right, when we just thought we were going on vacation.
Right.
But it's starting to make me think that almost every vacation really is probably some form of pilgrimage.
Well, it really is, and I now remember a trip that Dick and I, it wasn't the planetarium, it might have been the Field Museum, but we went to Crete and saw the Minoan ruins in the time of Minoan. And, oh, my Lord, there was something that just, ooh, that felt so good. And then what you found out about me thinking I was half Irish and all that, turned out to be, 72-73% Middle Eastern?
Yeah, very, very high percent from that area, from the Mediterranean and Middle Eastern area.
Mm-hmm.
Very large Italian. Very significant. So it seems like to me that there are two ways. There is the more immediate sense of ancestry. Like for me, I definitely do think of myself as Irish, because my most immediate ancestors are from Ireland, and because it's just what has sort of prevailed in my immediate family in terms of how we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
But when I had my ancestry, my DNA tested, and discovered that I'm, 25% Swedish and 25% Polish and 25% Irish and the other 25% sort of Mediterranean. That was a surprise.
So what did it change in you? Because this is not only intriguing and surprising, but it sort of, I've had people say, I think it changes the way I think about myself and my history. What did it do for you?
It expanded my my sense of identity from the container it was in. I had to make a bigger container to sort of try to comprehend it. And since then, certain synchronicities have occurred that have helped me understand that more, like this whole Swedish thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the people from the north, from this area around Sweden, colonized Ireland 800 years ago. So you could sort of make some rational sense out of it that way. Mm-hmm. That would be how I would end up with so much Swedish ancestry.
Yeah.
But as you know, recently I was persuaded by a numerologist to consider changing my last name. Huh? And that's a whole other story that I'm going to get into in a blog soon. But the name that I chose was my mother's mitochondrial, you know, her female line, her maternal line, to change my last name to, which is Faulkner, which means falcon, which comes from, so it embodies the energy of the animal totem of the falcon. And as I've been studying the Nordic story of the Tree of Life, it turns out that there's a falcon sitting right at the top of the Tree of Life. And the Tree of Life, according to Carl Coleman, the planetary Tree of Life starts in Sweden and goes down into Africa. But the very tip of it is in Sweden, where I now, you know, and now with this new name, last name, it just brings together my DNA, my story about myself is all being rewoven into this bigger thing, because the falcon sits at the top of the tree and has this omniscient perspective on everything.
And the Tree of Life is very much you after you had that dream, that incredible dream.
Right. So that's been so important. And I'm shifting. I feel like as I am going through my second Saturn return right now, I'm shifting into a higher frequency of inner knowing. Mm-hmm. Which is what the falcon is. It's that omniscience. And so I think that in probably everyone's story, if they could tease out all the different parts of the fabric of the story, they would find all these correlations, all these ways that it's interwoven, the mythology with the DNA, you know.
You know, what I think is so exciting, Tara, is that this is such a wonderful avenue to open up the reality of who we are, because we are so much more expansive than we think we are. And that Barry Commoner's observation, everything is related to everything else. And if this ever seemed, any of this kind of information ever seemed relevant, now is showing how relevant it is, that this is coming to the fore at this time in the evolution of humanity and the planet.
I know exactly what you're saying. It makes me feel very comforted.
Yeah.
As if there is a force or a source, something much bigger than us and wiser than us, who is orchestrating and loving than we, you know, usually are, that is orchestrating all this.
Yeah.
And that it I'm being held within that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mystery to be lived, and makes me feel really loved by the universe.
And it's sort of like purposeful and love, but also I can let go. It helps me let go of my judgments about people who have been different from me, that, you know, you look at all the things that separate us, and it's, they're all illusions, because the truth is we are one. The truth is we all came from the same place. We all are totally unique individuals.
Right.
A common source, a common of the nature of our humanity that is that we design based upon our culture and our beliefs and our, you know, and our bodies and all of that. But it just makes life so much more intriguing, because there's so much to learn.
It's so rich.
Yeah.
It's just so rich. And when we talk about inner knowing, it's not a static thing, you know. It doesn't just happen. It's not like you have one flash of insight in your life and that's it, and you're done. It's like you can always go deeper and deeper and always have those flashes, like a lightning strike that lights up the sky.
Yeah.
it can light up the sky inside your own unconscious, your own subconscious, or, you know, deeper levels of knowing. And suddenly everything's illuminated and you see these patterns that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and the key is letting go of the part of us that didn't think we could do it. Now, so we carry these sort of impediments that could be called karma or things that we've inherited that we're here to work through, which we'll get into some other time, because it was very clear that I came to address sort of, you know, my defenses and certain parts that were part of why I have the parents I had and why I've lived what I've lived. But to get out of my own way and to believe I can get out of my own way, to believe I can be something that I have not ever thought I could be.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, how with path work, we always talk about how there is the lower self and then there is the higher self.
Yeah.
And then there is something mediating between the two, which we call the ego. The ego has a healthy aspect that helps us mediate between those two. And what I think this ancestral mapping or ancestry mapping does for me, and hopefully for other people, will be to help us access that higher self aspect, to help us know that we come from greatness.
And have confidence.
Right. It's like what the Buddhists call divine pride. It isn't the pride of thinking you're better than anyone. It's the pride of knowing who you really are in your soul, in your spirit.
Yeah.
And that you have those resources to draw upon. You have the resources of your soul. You also have the resources of your ancestors. You know, and some of we all stand on the shoulders of our ancestors, and some of those shoulders are pretty broad, and they give us courage. Like recently I found out that two of my ancestors on my Faulkner line were veterans of the Revolutionary War, you know, and I just found that out. And it just made me feel like, really, like if they could do that, and that was hardcore back then. Most people, it was very high mortality rate in that war. And I can certainly do my version of being a revolutionary in this day and age, when it's about nonviolence, nonviolent non-participation in things that are not just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can draw upon the revolutionary impulse of my ancestors.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. You and I have gotten to know each other very well over these last, 4 years or five. And what you're coming up and finding is so consistent with what I know you to be and know your family to be. It's just fascinating how I see your family pattern reflected in things around me. So it's really...
The more you learn, the more it all makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, I love the little things I pick up here and there, but I picked up a gem the other day, which was, you know, our willingness to learn is key. And it's sort of like the mind is like a parachute. It doesn't work if it isn't open. Don't you love it? And just getting to the place where we can open our minds. And look at new possibilities and strive. It's just great fun.
I think this latest example of what Isha discovered is a really cool one to sort of maybe wrap things up with, because, of course, she really has identified throughout her life as Italian primarily, and some English, but, you know, primarily Italian. And for her recently to find out that she's 89% Asian. I felt like she walked around for like several days in a kind of trance. It was like in a trance. It was like, and she was constantly calling me and going, "Oh my God, now this makes sense. Now that makes sense. Now that makes sense." She started telling me all these stories from her childhood of ways she was drawn to Asian culture, and
well, and her extraterrestrial experiences, almost, you know, her unknowing, her you know,
Yeah.
Permeating and out that veil between the dimensions.
Right. And then there was the Native American component, too, which made so much sense to her, and the connection between the Native American and the Asian, and on and on. But you know what I thought was most interesting when we asked her how this would, had changed her feelings or sense of self, and she said, I don't fear death as much. Because I know that this is, we're so much bigger than that.
And that is so key. That is so key. And, you know, that story that you told me about the Dalai Lama when he came here to teach? Why don't you tell that again?
Well, it was all about, I was trying to illustrate the difference in ego structures between different cultures and how different the Tibetans' ego structure is from the West, and how when he first came and started teaching, he was in tears, actually, you know, he's so compassionate. And what he said was he was completely unprepared for the level of self-hatred that he encountered in people in the West. He felt so much compassion for us that we have this in us. It's something about our culture that breeds it, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because in the Tibetan culture, that seems to be largely absent. If you've ever spent any time around any Tibetan people, you notice that they just don't seem to have that.
Well, you know, and I think that sense of identity, and the reason I asked that question as you bring that in, was because it gets back to what Isha was experiencing, sort of like your sense of self, your sense of just the smallness of this is all, this body I've lived is all I'll ever, that's it, and the fear, to allow that expansion. And to then get to the place of not fearing death is the ultimate liberation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. And to tie that in with Isha's aunt, astrocartography, she was 40% Tibetan according to her DNA and 14% Native American from the American Southwest region. And in those two areas, her Saturn midheaven line and her nadir line were running through those two areas of the world. And basically, if you drilled a hole through the American Southwest, you would come out in Tibet, you know.
Oh,
and so the Saturn's all about karma. And there it was, right, you know, the correlation between her DNA map and her astrocartography map. And that is what I've seen over and over. Again, I saw it in your chart, mine, Andy's, everyone, my friend Tomek looked, you know, at his. It just keeps showing up, and that this is not an accident.
No.
Nothing is accidental, and that's part of what feels so good about it, that it's all purposeful.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is I just love this conversation. I love all our conversations. And Tara, to have watched you grow in this period of time. I mean, I've seen you go from being interested in astrology to being so good at it, and then interested in its ancestry and becoming so good at it. And what a blessing you have been in my life and my family's life and all of our lives. And your readings have been so helpful and so wonderful. So I just know that you're going to have a wonderful time at this conference.
Oh, I can't wait. And I
hardly wait to get I'll be there in spirit if I can do that.
And I have a stack of DVDs under my bed that I still need to watch on different aspects of DNA and genetics. And there's a lot more to learn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's part of what makes life, you know, such a wonderful adventure is it's always, there's always more to learn and deeper to go. And I just look forward to sharing this new type of astrology with people and the ancestry mapping to help other people understand who they are and where they come from and how it's all been orchestrated from some greater place of love and wisdom for all of us, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, the best is yet to be, sweetheart.
Thank you. And it looks like we've been talking for about 30 minutes, so we should probably wrap this one up. But thank you for asking those questions and drawing some of this out of me. And look forward to further conversations about it.
Yeah, we'll just keep talking to each other about what we're into and what we're doing, and I've got all kinds of things I'm learning about living in this body of mine, which is my, that's the teacher.
So, to be continued on that.
Yep. Big hugs, and talk to you soon.
Okay, lots of love.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.